Welcome, everybody. It's time once again for the only show that takes a close look at the beauty and health and wellness industry and tries to give you the straight scoop, the real skinny on beauty. The only show where technology, beauty, and art collide. I'll have to ask her about that. With your host, Cheryl Hawley. Hey, Cheryl.
Hey, Paul. How's it going?
How does technology, beauty, and art... So that just sounds so cool, but I really don't know what that means.
Well, I bring them all under one umbrella, and then I do the press through social media.
But they collide. They don't mesh. They bounce off of each other.
It's a very controversial show.
Yes, I guess so. All right. Well, you have a very scientific study today here. This is we're going to go deep into it, into the woods today here.
We definitely are. Hi, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'm your host, Cheryl Hawley. I'm here today, well, not present, but we have Rebecca Hamilton on the
line.
She's
here. What kind of?
Yes, she's here. She's on the line today. She's a director of product development for Badger Bomb. Welcome, Rebecca.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Hi, thanks so much for being on the show and calling in today.
What a cool job to develop balms, different types of balms. Is that what she does here?
Yeah, it's pretty much the coolest job.
I don't see little kids saying, that's what I want to be when I grow up someday. How do you even find a job like that, much less, get into it here? How did you get into this?
Well, I was very lucky to have a business that was created by my family, and so I grew up going to trade shows, natural products trade shows, seeing products. And when I ended up going to school, I went to school and studied something that I thought would bring me back and to actually run the department here in product development.
She's actually an economic botanist.
Whoa.
Yes.
Say that one again. An economic botanist?
Yes.
Does that mean that somehow trying to use botany to create products and make something out of it as opposed to just cultivating plants? Is that what an economic botanist does?
It's a study of how plants are used for people, by people. So we look at medicinal ethnobotany, what the environmental impacts are, supply chains. It's a really broad,
ranging, ethnobotany.
Very focused.
So I'm saying that must be like traditional tribal cultures, how they use different plants for healing and other things like that. Would that fall into that?
That would be one portion of it. So economic botany is the overarching study of...
I read something years ago, and I thought this made so much sense. People are saying, why study traditional medicines? And one, because there is some tried and true value in some of these remedies they've done. And why? Because they've been doing it for thousands of years. And if it didn't work, people would die and they'd just go on to something else. So I guess we won't smear that berry on them because that kills them. They've got what we won't do. They've got live clinical trials that run for 1,000 years there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. So I want to back up just a little bit here and introduce Rebecca a little bit better and tell everybody what Badger Bomb is. For those of you that aren't familiar with Badger Bomb, they are an organic, all-natural skincare, body care line. And Rebecca herself is very passionate for organic living and safe products, which led her to serve on many councils for chemical reform and safe cosmetics for safer cosmetic reform. And thank you. I just want to reach out to you, Rebecca, and say thank you so much because I know a lot of my listeners definitely appreciate what you are doing behind the scenes for all of us to keep our body care products safe. And, just to touch on that a little bit, and then I want to go into what Badger Bomb is and why you chose to name the product Badger. What exactly do you do behind the scenes for chemical reform and safe cosmetics?
Well, I started getting involved in the industry in about 2009. I became a member of the Natural Products Association Natural Seal Program, where we were creating a standard to help define what's natural for personal care products. This is a big issue because there isn't really a government standard defining natural.
I'm going to pipe in once more occasionally just because I can't help but ask. Is that sort of like the controversy surrounding organic farming? People say, well, how organic does organic have to be to get certified? And there's been some very wide range of some products say they're organic, and they're not very, very organic. So you're saying the same thing with natural products. There's a wide spectrum.
It's actually far more confusing and convoluted in natural than in organic. In organic, we have a government standard And if a product is USDA certified organic, there's a very clear standard that it has to adhere to.
Correct.
There is no standard. In fact, the FDA hasn't even defined natural.
Right. Yes. So what part of natural are your products? Yeah. You know, that you get that question a lot.
we do. And so, in fact, we have an entire industry based on natural personal care. Mm-hmm. And nobody has a consistent definition for natural.
Nobody knows what that is, right?
Right.
Yeah. And so our group was really focused on defining natural and creating a standard so that we could have some levels clarity
Fantastic.
In our industry for our customer and transparency. So I began by being involved with that, and that led me to being involved with the Campaign for Safe Cosmetics and with the numerous safe cosmetic bills that we've been trying to get passed. None of them have yet passed.
And when you talk about safe, are you talking about the human safe, or are you talking about animal safe, or all of that?
Focus on human safety.
We're not talking about animal tests. I know that's been a big controversy for years.
It is a part of it. It's not the focus of the bills that we've been presenting. Mm-hmm. And the reason this is so important is we haven't had updates in cosmetic legislation since the 1930s.
Ouch.
And if you think of how many innovations we've had since then.
Right.
It's really a self-regulated industry, and so mm-hmm. there's a lot of concerns coming even mostly from consumer advocacy groups, but also from companies like Badger that really care about having safe personal care products
right.
for our customers in the world.
Right.
So why the name?
And we're behind many other countries in standards. Our regulations are far behind the EU.
Right. Yes, I know. I find that interesting. Every time that pops back up in conversation. So, yeah, that actually leads us to Paul and I are both wondering why the name Badger.
Exactly.
And
that's
the philosophy.
Because the badger is kind of a vicious little animal,
yeah.
from what I remember.
And the philosophy behind that for your brand.
I think Badger's got a bad rap. They're
yeah, they do.
Oriented. They're the medicine totem animal in a lot of cultures. Well, truth be told, the name was originally going to be Bearpaw.
Oh.
And my father originally started making the first product because he was a carpenter out in New England, and he had very cracked hands in the wintertime, and none of the lotions healed his hands, and so he went in the kitchen and made something for his own hands, and it actually worked.
Wow.
And so he thought that he would just make a product that he would sell in hardware stores, and he would give it the name Bearpaw for those rough working carpenter hands.
Yeah.
And it wasn't trademarked, but we got all the way to the point of having plates made to get tins printed, and someone brought us a tube of Bearpaw hand cream.
Oh my gosh.
Common law rights, because it was already on the market, so we had to change the name.
Now, what year was this?
1990. It was probably around 1993 or 4.
Okay.
The company officially was started between 1995 and 96, depending on who you ask and what definition of started you use.
Right. Well, I don't know if you know, Rebecca, but my very first beauty blogger review was for Badger Bomb personal care products.
There you go. I didn't know that.
Oh, lovely.
Yep.
That's great.
I'm a huge fan of the Damascus Rose sunscreen. I love that.
Oh.
Is
wonderful.
That a big seller for you?
You know, we've had it off the market and changed the formula, and it's actually one of my absolute favorite products, and we're about to relaunch it.
Oh,
better
fantastic.
Than ever in the spring. So.
There you go. We'll have to do a review of
that.
It here. You'll have to review
yes.
it. Yes.
And yes. we have a tinted version as well.
Oh, okay. Now we're talking.
but just to get back for a moment to Badger, I've only got to Badger or Bearpaw right
yeah,
now.
Right.
Yes, yes.
Because
let's get
Bearpaw
back to that.
Was taken. My father, who's very stream of consciousness thinker, uh-huh. was on a track of animals, and so we actually have a list of his handwritten notes where he was looking at fish paw, otter paw, all the different animals, huh. and somehow he just landed on Badger, and he said, you know what, that's the one, that's the name,
that's it.
The spirit name of the company.
Nice.
And since then, the art has been a huge part of our products.
Mm-hmm.
We have different art for every line, and the badger is actually the medicine badger, and we create a badger that helps, we think, with the product. So a sleeping badger for the sleep balm, you know, the badger swatting flies away for the anti-bug balm.
Yes,
it comes
yes.
part of the actual
And you're saying uh-huh. in tribal cultures that badgers have a different different place in the tribal medicine? Is that what I'm hearing, or traditional
it's
healing?
The keeper of the herbs.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Think of them as these vicious little
things. The keeper of the herbs. I think that's going to be the title of the blog post. Yeah. Wow. Well, that's fantastic. And everybody, just a shout out of the website here if you need to go and find some of this beautiful artwork that Rebecca's talking about. It is www.badgerbalm.com, and that's BADGERBALM. So that's a fascinating story. I love that. I really love that. I'm glad I asked that question. So, Rebecca, since Badger is a certified organic manufacturer and you have the background in botany, how difficult was it for you to do the product development in the early stages of business development?
Well, the simpler the products, the easier it is to be certified organic, because the USDA organic standard is a food standard.
Right. Okay.
And so Badger started out making balms and oils. Balms with a BALMS.
I see. Again, back to the aggressive nature of Badgers here. You're balm builders. Okay. Or balm builders.
Yes. Balm.
BALMS. Yes.
Yes. Balms and oils. And we use only food ingredients, really. And so in order to get an organic certification for a food, essentially a food product that you put on your skin, it's not that difficult.
Right.
And so we really focused on that because, on the one hand, we believe in making healing products. And when you look at healing food, you're looking at food that are high in nutrients and antioxidants and all these different good things. You want the same thing for your skin. And
right.
So if you create skincare products out of the same type of food ingredients, of course, slightly different because they're for your skin, not for going down your digestive tract,
right,
then you're really creating the healthiest products, and they're simple enough to be certified organic. The challenge has really come in later years as we've been making more complex products.
Right. So that U.S. Certified organic stamp, that has not changed over the year or over the years.
Well, we became USDA certified organic as a brand, I believe, in 2008. And
I
have to check on that.
Okay.
But we had organic products from the beginning. We just didn't go for the entire certification. So from 2008 until now, it hasn't changed dramatically. Changed in terms of how we certify. What we have done in more recent years is for the complex products that have ingredients that are not food ingredients. So, for instance, our sunscreen is a perfect example. We have zinc oxide, the mineral zinc oxide, in our products.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's a mineral, just like salt, which is an approved additive in organic. It's not approved in the organic standard because it's not meant for food. And so we make that exception, and we go with the NSF organic standard, which is an organic standard designed for personal care products and cosmetics.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, so it does get very tricky. Now, do you have to do the research yourself for that, or do you have somebody else in the family that does that?
Well, I have a team.
You have a team. Okay.
That works with me.
How many are in your company? Are there? Because you have definitely expanded outside of the family, correct?
Yeah, we have about 60.
Wow. Congratulations.
Here.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm.
And so are you like a mad scientist? You sit in some chemical laboratory with beakers overflowing and stuff here?
Oh, ignore him.
I'm surrounded by mad scientists.
See?
They're fantastic.
Okay.
So when did your passion...
We have a lab here.
Yeah. Oh.
I would think, yeah.
Yes.
Do at that level, right.
Now, when did your passion for botany begin? I mean, was it... I know we touched a little bit on this, you know, the family-owned business, but was this just something that you were just surrounded by, so you were interested, or did it grow as, you know, the family business grew?
Honestly, when I was younger, I didn't have any intention of coming back to work for the family business. I wanted to go out and adventure and travel the world, and so I spent a number of years before actually going to college traveling. And in part of those travels, actually one trip in particular, I went to Australia, and
beautiful.
I ended up going on this walk with an Aboriginal woman who was a medicine healer.
Mm.
And I remember being in the outback where it looked like there was absolutely nothing. It was just dry, colorless. And she kept coming up with all these different things that were medicinal, and I was just blown away. And I thought, that's what I want to do with my life.
In the middle of nowhere, she's finding medicine.
I want to know that sort of thing. And so I decided that I wanted to study ethnobotany or to become an ethnobotanist. I heard this word sometime, maybe the next year, I heard the term ethnobotanist. Mm-hmm. And I found a project in India. And in my youthful exuberance, decided I would just fly to India and show up there and volunteer. And that they would take me on and that I would learn. Well, of course, it didn't happen that way.
Right.
They looked me up and down. And they said, well, do you speak Tamil? Do you know botany?
You got to have one of the two, right?
No way. And so I left kind of dejected and ended up going back to college. And I went to college at the University of Hawaii, where they had an ethnobotany program.
Oh, man. So you've traveled a lot.
Yeah, that led me back to ethnobotany.
Right.
And when I was in the middle of taking that ethnobotany program, I realized that actually the perfect dream job would be coming back to Badger and running product development here.
There you go. See, it took
that
a while.
A
you had to travel the world to come back home here.
Right. That was a good day for your dad, I bet.
Both my parents.
Right.
I work here actually with both my parents and my sister and my husband.
Okay, so the co-founder would be... your father or father?
My father and my mother, really.
Father and mother. Okay.
Yeah. And the whole family really runs the company now. But it was first my father, and my mother, of course, was very involved in the beginning. But she was also a teacher, a Waldorf teacher for many years.
What's a Waldorf? I don't know what a Waldorf teacher is.
It's a very specialized kind of teacher that it's following the philosophies. If you don't know what Waldorf is, you won't know who Rudolf Steiner is. But
no.
It's a very specialized type of teaching that's very holistic.
Hmm. Oh, very cool. Very cool. Okay. Well, Rebecca, stay tight. We're just going to take a quick break. And then when we get back, we'll talk a little bit more about your mission and the launch of some new face care products.
Without even looking at the mirror, most of you probably know where your sunspots are. You've seen them. You try not to stare at them. You wish they'd go away. And you know that whatever you do, you can't just treat the surface. You have to treat the skin within. Well, finally, there's a formula to do that. New Clean Organics Vitamin C Serum addresses skin discoloration issue. That's right. They'll actually help you remove those blotches and sunspots on your face that you've been trying to hide up or ignore for so long. Clean Organics scientists have identified a series of genes responsible for this discoloration in your skin, and they formulated an effective vitamin C serum that helps remove sunspots, reverse the formation of pigments, and basically illuminate your skin from within. 84% of women saw less dark spots in a recent study. 95% of women saw improvement in skin and overall appearance. It all comes about with this revolutionary new product, Kleem, K-L-E-E-M, Organics. Treat your skin. Express your natural beauty. All right, back to this fascinating look at a fascinating family here. We haven't even gotten into the fascinating product here. I'm just amazed at the travels and journeys here. Was your mother supportive when your dad, the carpenter, came home and said, I'm going to create a company about balms for hands?
B-A-L-M-S.
Yeah, right. I mean, that, you know, he was...
To say that he was only a carpenter is an understatement. He has always been an entrepreneur.
Ah, so. Okay, all right. So she was ready for this, right?
He had a different business idea pretty much every couple of days.
Okay, all right. Well, explain. All right,
so ping pong emporium or whatever it might be. This is actually probably one of the more doable, reasonable ideas.
The ping pong emporium didn't take off? Oh, my goodness.
I wish your dad was on the line. Yeah, I wish he was on the line. I hope he's listening because I understand the whole let's go through every type of idea we can as an entrepreneur. Because believe me, I have had some ones too. So, Rebecca, you know, Badger's mission is very clear. It's safe and organic. So I can personally see your passion, not only for the health-conscious individual, but as a friend of the green economy. And I remember that after I did my review for Badger, during the summer, you guys came out with some type of campaign. I can't remember the name, and hopefully you will, but it was about skincare under the sun. What was that name?
Yeah. Slow Sun.
Slow Sun, yes, yes.
Campaign. We had an idea that like the slow sun, like the slow food movement, that people needed to take a different approach to their relationship with the sun and outdoors, and that just slathering on sunscreen wasn't the right response, that we actually needed to look at healthy approach to being outdoors.
Right.
Sunscreen is one part of it.
Right. And it was a good campaign. You guys had a great engagement online, correct? And and now you're coming out with a new campaign, I suppose, around your new face care product line. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
So this new face care line is centered around the efficacy of oils, which are my favorite healing partner. So tell our listeners the campaign that you're coming up with around this idea and about the cleansing oils and the different types you have.
Sure. So when we think about product development, oftentimes we think about products in terms of whether or not they're healing. And we look back in the past to what products people used before we had a lot of the chemicals we have now. Mm-hmm. And then also, what are the holistic lifestyle choices that you can make to support a product? So with sunscreen, the Slow Sun campaign was really focused around those holistic life choices, like mm-hmm. wearing a sun hat or staying in the shade peak hours. Mm-hmm. And with the face care, we realized that there's actually a whole ritual that you can do around taking care of your face that's incredibly healing. And we looked at what products we need to support that ritual. And we realized that we didn't need all of the complex face care products that most people use, that all you really need is oil.
Right.
And you could simplify it down to that very, very simple ingredient. And, of course, we're not just using one oil. We're actually using a blend of different oils. And each oil has a different set of chemical constituents and a different makeup. And so each oil interacts with your skin in a different way. And so by looking at the oils and blending the right blends, we're able to make both facial cleansers and also facial moisturizers for different skin types.
Right. And that's different skin types, meaning dry or sensitive or oily skin.
And we do actually have one for oily and problem skin that we're not launching at this time quite yet.
Okay.
But we had amazing feedback. We trialed it with 50 people.
Okay.
And we had overwhelmingly positive feedback. And what we were asking people to do was to switch from their normal face care routine to using just two products, and that they use these two products in combination with a ritual. And the ritual is that you first take the cleansing oil. And the idea with a cleansing oil is that with a normal face cleanser, it's surfactant-based generally. And a surfactant, if you can envision, is a two-tailed molecule, one that holds on to the oil and one that holds on to the water. So when you put that surfactant on your face, it grips all the oil on your face. And when you put the water on top of it, it pulls all the oil off with the water. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Depending on how strong.
I'm just trying to get my head around this. So you've come up with a way to actually put, when you put the water on your face, it pulls the oil off. Is that what I'm understanding here?
Well, that's what most facial cleansers do. So
but it's
just a matter of how strong they are.
But yeah, right.
Imagine when you're just using oil, it's more like an oil change for your skin. So the dissolves like, so you put the oil on your skin and you're able to kind of dissolve the current oil that's on your skin, but it also mixes with any kind of dirt and grime from the day or makeup or whatever you might have on your face. And then you use a nice warm washcloth and steam your face a little bit to open your pores, and then you use the washcloth as an exfoliant and to pull the oil off. But it's much more gentle than the actual surfactant, and so you're not stripping your face of oils. It's more of a balancing.
Right. You're balancing the natural oils. So the face oil that you have, is that something that you leave on?
So you use the cleansing oil and you wash that off.
Uh-huh.
And then depending on if you have drier skin or not, you may add a little bit of the face oil afterwards. And
again,
the oils we chose are balancing.
And that's where it balances.
So is a liquid wax, which is the same, very similar in composition to what your skin naturally produces.
Right. Oh, so I bet your mom had a lot to do with this.
She certainly gave a lot of good input.
Input on it, yeah. Now you also have a beauty balm that you're launching with this. Tell our listeners about that.
Well, the beauty bomb, my mother did have a lot of input on, and that was because this was before I worked at the company, she asked my father to make her a product for her evolving and changing skin. And he made our evolving beauty balm with Damascus rose and chamomile and calendula and rosehip and sea buckthorn.
Your skin really does. I mean, I'm 58, and I can see my skin has really changed. I mean, it does. It doesn't just dry out. I mean, it's the first time I've ever heard anybody say that, but your skin doesn't stay the same your whole life, does it?
It gets thin when you get older. Yeah. It's a very different and delicate.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And unfortunate for wrinkles on women.
Yeah.
So you were telling us about, you were getting into the different types, and there are four different types. So I'm very interested in this beauty balm because I feel like when I think of a balm, I think of like just a protection. And so with this ever-changing skin that your mom requested your father make, which, you know, a product for, is that going with the same theory and philosophy of it protecting our skin and keeping it from anti-aging elements in the air? And
yeah, so a lot of the ingredients, all of these products have what we call the three sisters.
Okay.
And the calendula, rosehip, and sea buckthorn.
Okay.
All of which are very rich in vitamins. They're antioxidant, and they're particularly good for your skin in terms of making sure that your skin is healthy. And also to help as your skin, as you evolve and change over the years.
And what is the sea buckthorn? Because I until I was preparing for this interview, I'd never heard of that. So I'm sure there's others.
Well, sea buckthorn is a very cool plant. It's a small shrub. It grows mostly in Europe and Asia. And on the one hand, the fruit or the berries are incredibly high in vitamin C, vitamin E. They're antioxidant. They're kind of this, you know, superfruit, not to use a term that's overused. But on top of that, they're actually really good for the environment because they have fast root growth. And so they're often used in communities to stabilize soil where there's a lot of erosion. And so they provide an economic benefit to a community as well as stabilizing the environment. And then they have this incredible health benefit as well, internally and externally.
Wow. So it is used a lot in oil cleansing, I gather.
It's not one of the key cleansers. It's used a lot in oil moisturizing. The key cleansers, actually castor oil is one of the key cleansers.
Wow.
It has high cleansing. It's a little thicker, stickier, and it helps to pull or draw any kind of impurities out of your skin as you're cleansing with it. So certain oils are more for the moisturizing and therapeutic, and certain ones.
Is that way my grandmother used to make us drink castor oil or whatever?
Mm-hmm. Oh, internally. Well, that's a different thing. It's laxative internally.
Right. She definitely knows what she's talking about. Well, I'm very excited about your new face care product line, and congratulations again on that. I do want to touch just briefly on something else that I noticed while I was cruising around Mother's, where you have a very substantial presence, and I noticed that you have a men's line that you offer.
Yeah.
When did you guys come out with the men's line? Has it been a while, or?
No, about 6 months ago.
6 months ago. Okay, so you guys are just really doing well. That's awesome. Coming up with great ideas, coming out with new lines. And what do you offer for men?
So the vision with the men's line was to create a product line, again, looking a little bit back before we had the chemicals that we have today. So it's kind of the turn-of-a-century style, quirky, old-fashioned men care product with a modern twist. So we have traditional shave soap that you would use with a bristle brush, and we have pre-shave oil and aftershave astringent. And aftershave oil.
You might want to be listening, Paul.
I'm writing all this down.
We also have a hair pomade, a mustache wax, and a beard conditioner.
Oh, my God. See, I have a beard and a mustache and all that stuff here. Yeah, nobody
But you need the beard conditioner and mustache wax.
Yeah, nobody ever markets that. They think we're just, you know, grizzly guys and we don't do anything. But, yeah, my beard.
You see, the thing is, today, there's so many men with beards, and they're not just scraggly beards. They're lovely, nice, conditioned beards, and
Thank
they need
you.
Some kind of product for it.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Beards are cool. They're coming back here.
they're back.
They are back.
Me, they never left.
Now, because nobody's shaving anymore, and their razor sales are going down.
Right. I know. Isn't that weird? I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan. Are you, Rebecca?
Well, it depends.
Yeah, I guess it does. Sorry, man.
My wife said she actually, now we're older, and her she was married previously to a guy that looked like Grizzly Adams, so I guess I fit the thing. But she says she would not be with a man that didn't have a beard. And I know that's
rare.
Most
that's
women,
a strong statement.
Most women do not like beards for whatever reason, but yeah.
So, Paul, it is octalkradio.net.
Yes.
Click on the orange for the on-air, correct?
Yes.
Okay. All right. We just had a tweet come through, and so I just want to make sure that that was the correct information.
And you can see the picture of me and my beard there.
Right? Yeah, you can. You definitely can.
One of the pictures on the page. Right?
Rebecca, do you guys actually know? You know what I want to know? I want to know your favorite plant. And if it's used in your body care line.
Like many botanists, one of my favorite plants are, well, my favorite plants are orchids.
Uh-huh.
And there's actually only one economically used orchid that I know of for personal care products or food, and that's vanilla.
I didn't know vanilla is an orchid from the orchid family?
Yes.
I had no idea that.
Okay.
And so we do use vanilla in our products, and I find it fascinating because orchids are the intelligent plants. That's why botanists always become obsessed with them. And the orchid flower is only pollinated by one species of bee that's in Chiapas, Mexico.
What?
Which means all the orchids grown everywhere else have to be hand-pollinated. So if you've ever wondered why true vanilla is really expensive, it's because every flower has to be hand-pollinated. And only one flower opens at a time on the plant, and then it's only open for about 24 hours. So it has to be pollinated, and then the next one will open, and that has to be pollinated.
So did all vanilla come from Chiapas, Mexico? Is that what you're saying?
No, it doesn't. It's hand-pollinated everywhere else, though.
But, oh, got you.
Mm-hmm. I see. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
So when it grows, where else does it grow? I know it grows in lots of different places around the world here. So they're actually going out with a little eyedropper or something and hand-pollinating these plants here?
Yes. I'm not sure it's an eyedropper, but they are
something.
Going out and something. Pollinating.
That's crazy.
I think Paul's in the wrong industry.
Well, I'm trying to picture, you know, a little thing will drop in there or something. I don't know what you're doing. I'm not trying to hand pollinate anything.
No,
I don't.
How
you do it.
We tease.
It's fascinating.
It is fascinating. I've always been really interested in, and now I don't know all the terms you've thrown out, but just in medicinal medicine in general.
Mm-hmm.
So that's great. That's great to know. It's very rare to come by as well. So what would be your second then?
My second favorite?
Yeah.
Can I have them all from the orchid family? Or
oh! You knew what I was trying to get at, didn't you?
Why don't you just ask me about another type of plant?
Let's get to the real question.
Well, I know that you use, you did say the four. Actually, no, you didn't say the four. You said sea buckthorn, Damascus rose. What are the other two that you use? Argan?
Well, I said rose hip, sea buckthorn, and calendula are what we call our three sisters, which are our power pack CO2 extracts that we use in many of our products.
Not okay. Caligula, but calendula. Okay, right. This isn't a Roman reference. This is okay.
Yeah, calendula.
I don't even know what that is. I've never even heard of that plant.
A calendula flower?
Nope, never heard of it. Do you know what a calendula flower is?
We'll move forward.
Do you know what a calendula is?
You must be from California.
I am from California.
It's on the East Coast.
Yeah.
I've never seen such a thing.
Rebecca, do you guys have any holiday packages coming up that we can find on your website?
We do.
Okay.
And I believe that we have a holiday section of the website. You're asking me things that are outside of my area of expertise. So
okay.
I'm really not
She's a scientist. She doesn't.
Yeah.
But if you look on our website, we have some really nice, lovely gift sets that we've put together. I believe we may have a men's gift set with a brush and bowl.
Okay.
And a whole shave kit, which would be lovely. and we have a sampler pack gift set, little ornaments with our best-selling balms, people's favorite balms.
Would you hang the ornament from your mustache or beard? No, probably not.
Paul.
It depends on how hardy your beard is. Right.
That might make a good social media photo.
Yeah.
You're welcome to try. We could do a contest.
Well, the great Blackbeard.
Anyone who could.
I don't know if you know this, but historically, Blackbeard, the pirate, supposedly there are pictures or images of him that he put candles, live candles and stuff in his beard. That was part of his fearsomeness. He would put these little, tie little candles.
Interesting. Interesting. I'm glad we don't do that anymore. So do you have any of the holiday packages already being marketed out there through your social media channels at all? Can we see them through, say, Instagram? Are they not being posted yet? Or you're not sure, huh?
I'm not sure.
Okay. Okay. So as let me actually... This is probably a better question to ask you, Rebecca. Do you like social media?
Oh, yeah, I love social
media. Oh, okay. Okay, good.
I'm just not the social media person for Badger.
Right, exactly. So you probably wouldn't know, then, your most used social media channel, would you?
I wouldn't. I would assume Facebook, actually, but we have a very active Twitter following. I know we're on Instagram regularly.
How did you get this out to the world? I mean, I know the product is very widely distributed. We're big into mothers here in the West Coast. I'm sure there are other places like this around the country. How do you get into those stores, and how do you get a following in a unique market segment like this? You're not putting up billboards. You're not running ads on the Super Bowl.
We don't actually do any advertisements at all.
Right.
And we don't go through distribution. We do direct sales to customers. We do things like trade shows and a lot of, it's actually a lot of word of mouth and organic, more like the guerrilla marketing sometimes, but more it's organic growth.
Yeah, that's great.
Do
it fits well with the product.
You do in-store stuff? You must go out and do in-store displays or demos or other things like that?
Occasionally, not that often.
Hmm. Yeah, you guys might... I could see maybe you doing something inside Mother's with a new face care line that you're going to be launching or something like that. But I do appreciate the way that you guys hold traditional values for your marketing, even though I am a social media digital specialist. But I understand the respect that comes behind word of mouth.
Yeah, and we're very active in social media, and we do a lot of really good information. Our marketing is really education-based, so we try to provide our customers or our fans with information that they would want to know. And it's not just about how great we are as a company, but really good information on broader topics. And we also get involved in a lot of things outside the company, so whether it's standards and certifications, which might not be as familiar to people, or getting involved with the whole benefit business movement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, we've covered a lot of bases here, and I have to thank you for, being able to explain them so thoroughly and well online, over the air. And
all I ask is that you do a YouTube video and show me how to hand pollinate vanilla. Everybody laughed at me when I had my image here, so I want to know. I got to see this. How do they take and hand pollinate these plants?
If you send me somewhere where they grow vanilla, I'll send you a YouTube video.
Okay, all right.
There you go. There you go. I bet you're going to have some bloggers blogging about that now, Rebecca.
We should do a crowdfunding campaign to send her to, I have no idea where they grow vanilla, but wherever it is.
I'll take Mexico.
Mexico. All right. So we'll do a crowdfunding campaign to send you there and create this video on how to hand pollinate vanilla. I think that's a worthy crowdfunding campaign here.
Sure.
I really appreciate you being on the show, Rebecca. Everybody listening, to buy Badger products directly from their website, you can visit Badger Balm's website, which is, again, www.badgerbalm.com, and that's B-A-L-M. It's been wonderful, again, talking to you, Rebecca, and thank you for taking the time out of your day to do this interview with me. But before we sign off, I do close all my shows with an inspirational quote, something that you have held yourself accountable to at one time or another. Are you ready to share your favorite quote with us?
Yes. Do I give context or just say the quote?
Oh, let's get some context here. Everything else has had such a backstory to it.
We have to.
Sure. Well, this is something that when I was traveling in India, I went to the very extreme tip of India. And at the extreme tip of India, in Kanyakumari, there's a temple. That's the Gandhi Temple. And I remember walking through the temple, and there's words written by Gandhi all throughout the temple. And there's this one place, and on the wall they had this quote written. And when I read that quote, it just made so much sense to me. And from that day forward, I've really come back to this again and again in terms of how I want to live my life.
Oh.
All right, with that, we'll do a little drum roll here. And the quote is, this is from the great Mahatma Gandhi. All right.
And the quote is that you must be the change that you wish to see in the world.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I love that one. I love that one. Thank you so much to all my listeners. Don't forget that you can tweet me at Skinny on Beauty if you want to be a guest on my show. You may also reach out for a consultation with me for building your beauty or health brand presence online, in addition to social media marketing and PR services at unitesocially.org. Until next time, stay beautiful, Orange County.
You've been listening to the only show that takes a look at the intersection of technology, art, and beauty, and gives you the straight scoop that's real skinny on beauty. Brought to you by Orange County's only community radio station, OCTalkRadio.net.